From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Jesus said, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again."
We gather in this place to know your presence and your love, now and always.
Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the light. If you know me, you know God."
We pray to know you more deeply, that we may know God more intimately, now and always.
Jesus said, "Ask me for anything, and I will do it."
Help us to ask for the right things, Lord Jesus Christ, that we may fulfill your will, now and always.
Jesus said, "Believe in me and follow me."
Help us to worship you fully, believing and following, now and always.
Will you be in a spirit of prayer? Ever gracious, way-making God, we celebrate the gifts of your Spirit. You have not fed us on a diet of shame or shrinking, but with the milk of your truth, as you have made us strong and faithful servants of Christ. You call us to take up the mantle of justice and to follow wherever faith leads us. You fill us with strength and hope, and you invite us to share in the cost and joys of discipleship. You promise us splendor and beauty in this life and in the world to come. Meet us here. We pray that your word will be fulfilled in our hearing, and that your Spirit will fill us with courage as we pray together, saying,
"Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
anthem is by our youth choir, God's Singers. It's entitled Do Unto Others. This choir is led by Beth Demph. Epistle lesson from Acts is read by Carol Barber.
The epistle lesson this morning comes from the 7th chapter of Acts, reading verses 55 through 60. And we're going to be coming in at the same place as the vision that we talked about in the assurance of pardon. So we're kind of coming in the middle of a thought. And we're talking about Stephen here. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together up on him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Our gospel lesson and sermon entitled You Know God is by the Reverend Jody Furness Wright. And this is her final sermon with us. We have appreciated the service of Reverend Furness Wright on a short-term but very faithful basis.
From John 14, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The word that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is God's good news. Thanks be to God. Sarah Angel was a very hard baby to get. So when she was a few years old and the Iron Crib orphans became famous, her parents decided that was a better way to get her a sibling. So after a rather long adoption process, Peter finally came to their home from Romania. Sarah was very well informed as to how she had come by her little brother, and she would often share during our church's children's moment where, at least in her case, babies came from. Romania. One day, Sarah was walking alongside as her mother was pushing baby Peter in the grocery cart through the store when they were stopped by a stranger who wanted to admire this adorable baby. "Oh," said the stranger, "doesn't he look just like his mother?" "Wait," said Sarah, "how do you know his mother?" How do you know the Father? How do you know God? How can anyone know God? Well, the disciples wondered the very same thing. And Philip, we're told, had the temerity to ask, "Jesus, show us the Father." Philip, who knew Jesus and yet did not know Jesus at all. Now, from our place in history, it's always so tempting to say, "Really? Here you are right next to Jesus in the flesh and you don't know him?" But that's a little arrogant of us, isn't it? To take our 2,000 years of tradition for granted and assume the people with Jesus had benefit of our hindsight. And yet, there must have been some reason to recognize Jesus for who he is. Because that's the same question that Jesus is reported to have asked his disciples. "Really? You're right next to me in the flesh, and you don't know me yet?" We know. If we want to know God, we need to know Jesus. But not having the disciples' advantage, how are we supposed to recognize Jesus when they couldn't? I mean, are we going to have a vision? Most of us can't see Stephen like Stephen did and see Jesus in a vision. Stephen recognizes Jesus because there he is, seated on the right hand of God. But if you're like me, most of us are less inclined to heavenly visions. So we might want to look for Jesus more like the disciples, in the flesh. That's right, in his living and breathing presence in the flesh, in his followers, where we were promised it would be. Now, before you start feeling the pressure, we can't see Jesus in any one person. There is no one, none of us, can bear individually the image of Christ. It is beyond our broken state.
And while our institutions are often as flawed as we are as individuals, here is a great mystery. Those of us who claim to know God and to understand God's will and way through knowing Jesus came to know Jesus through his community of flawed people, his broken church. This is the good news. The church and her people don't have to be perfect to be the body of Christ. Thank God. We are more like his less than perfect disciples back in Scripture. And this is grace. This is good news, that even in our imperfection, God is revealed if we will put our trust in Jesus as we hope in the middle of our struggles and as we love one another in spite of our different faults. And the greatest of these we know, the most important, is love. To love one another despite our different faults. Well, the California church made promises to be that body of Christ to sweet little Max Sedgwick as we baptized him this morning. And I hope we all remembered that those same kinds of promises were made on our behalf the day we were baptized. Now, we come from different traditions, some of us. I was baptized when I was 9 years old at the First Christian Church of Coffeyville, Kansas. In the Disciples of Christ tradition, at least back in the day, we made our confession of faith 1 week, coming forward all by ourselves during the hymn of invitation, and then we were baptized the following week. We came forward individually as we were ready. And at 9, I had for some time been asking my dad, well, how will I know? How will I know when I'm ready? And knowing my dad, I'm sure he answered by asking me what I thought, because that was my dad's teaching style. He might tell you a story, but he would ask you for your answers and make you work out what you had learned. And I remember that somewhere in that discussion, I came to a conclusion that delighted my father and that he affirmed. I said, I think I will be ready when everything comes clear. Now, that was an interesting conclusion for a 9-year-old to come to because of my favorite church song at the time. We had had a special program that summer with an evangelist named Ting Champy, who had inspired all of us in that church with the chorus of an old hymn called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I was delighted to find it in your hymnal, number 146. But I don't need a hymnal. It went like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, we were still singing that song every Sunday during church. And I just loved that song. But it always gave me more questions than answers, which I think sometimes the best hymns do. How could I turn my eyes and look full in Jesus' wonderful face? I mean, I was 9 and a pretty literal thinker, as most 9-year-olds are. Would I see a vision? Would Jesus' face appear before me? So I kept talking to God as I had been taught to do, and talking to my dad and asking my questions, which fortunately in my household were encouraged. And then one Sunday it happened. we were singing that song, and I was looking around me at the people in the church, so many of whom had shown me at some point love and grace. And at that moment, things came clear, not strangely dim like in the song, but here, in these imperfect things of the earth, regular old church folk, a whole lot like you, I suddenly recognized the face of Jesus in all his grace and glory. And so later in that service, I made that long walk to the front of the church and claimed my faith. So how will Max know God? How will the rock kids and the choir and the Sunday school kids, how will they know God? You might answer me, well, through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, how will they know Christ? You, my friends, are the face of Christ in this place. Now, the best part of my coming here has been, to quote a Rodgers and Hammerstein song, getting to know you. You have a wonderful church, full of love and the Holy Spirit, and you are the body of Christ. I see his face in you. So as our time together comes to an end, I want to leave you with a word of encouragement. Continue to be the church. Do all the things churches do. Care for God's earth. Walk with the poor. Embrace your differences. Reject all the isms. Forgive often. Love God. Lift up the powerless. Share your gifts. Be grateful for and enjoy this life. Be Christ to one another and to the world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely clear in the light of his glory and grace. May God bless you, and may the time we have spent together be acceptable in God's sight and show forth God's grace and glory. Amen.
Lord, for those who see visions and for those who dream dreams, hear our prayer, O Lord, for your church in all her brokenness and in all her glory. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for the poor and the powerless. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for those with much to give and for those who give their all. Hear our prayer, O Lord, for baby Max and his family and friends. Hear our prayer, O Lord. On this Mother's Day, for all those who mother and for all those who receive their nurture, hear our prayer, O Lord. For those who are here today and for those coming soon, hear our prayer, O Lord. For all the promises made and fulfilled by your people, and for all those promises we need to reclaim, hear our prayer, O Lord. And for all of us who long to know you and to live in the light of your love, bind us together. Hear our prayer, O Lord, incline your ear to us and grant us your peace.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.